You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JAC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Scout Clow, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. I didn't speak to Scout last week because he's very important and he hosted a conference. How's the conference, Scout?
It was extremely successful. And it turned out very, very, very nice. I mean, always any conference on a wine farm, you know, in the Western Cape is you know, it's a good start. But yeah, great speakers, and it was just a lovely event overall.
And people nodding off towards the end, of course, because of what you just mentioned, being on a wine farm.
I was lost. So yeah, they were nodding off for sure.
I don't believe a word of it. Scout, results season is over in South Africa. Now what we've got is, I think, a little bit of sort of interest rate season. The South African bond market has taken a bit of a tumble. In other words, yields rising. Japan has raised interest rates for the first time in 17 years, and its wage inflation is at its highest for 31 years. The US Federal Reserve concludes its meeting tonight. The UK has more than 2-year low in its inflation at 3.4%. So much to digest. We don't talk much about the bond market, but maybe today on a quiet JSC day ahead of the public holiday, we should talk about it. Are you involved with your client's behalf in the bond market?
No, not anymore. Not directly in bonds. We do invest in bonds via funds.
Yes.
So still very much involved. Yeah, Lindsay, it's a crazy market when you look at it. I mean, today, I think we're going to wait to and see what the Fed does later. I mean, let's not talk about the interest rate, because I think, you know, it's just a rubber stamp. We're going to hear them announce no change in the interest rate a little bit later.
Yes,
and I think they're going to be a bit hawkish. Already we can see in that CME FedWatch tool, and that's just the one where they look at the probabilities of rate cuts and rate hikes, in the future, when you look at the futures market. And we know when we started off this year, there was a massive probability that we'll see our first cut today, March. Now I've already said we're not going to see that.
Yes.
May the 1st is the next meeting, and already that is sort of, you know, out as well, because we're looking at a 94% probability that rates will remain unchanged on that date. June, which just I think a few weeks ago was sort of earmarked as it's a foregone conclusion. We will see 98-99% probability that they will cut rates. Now sitting in a scenario that they're looking at about 60% probability that we'll see the first cut in June. And for all the listeners out there, if you want my money, I would say just don't put your money on that 40%, because I think you'll lose it. I don't think we're going to see the first rate cut in June, with now most probably the first one in July. When you look at the probabilities there, it's an 88% probability that we'll see the first cut on the 31st of July. The problem is we're sitting with this inflation thing, and you know, you're going to tell us a bit later again, you know, what the Brent oil price does and what some of these commodity, or let's call it inflationary commodities, are doing.
Yes.
But I mean, we've seen today, and our inflation figures came out. Now we know it was 5.3% year-on-year growth last month. Expected this month 5.5%, came out 5.6%, which now started to get everybody up in arms. Here we go. We've this is the highest levels we've seen in many, many months. In 4 months, clearly inflation is not under control, and I think the most important point that most economists came out today with was, that's gonna create a very uncomfortable MPC meeting, with most probably them coming out being a little bit more hawkish, because remember they're targeting 4.5%. That's what the Reserve Bank is targeting. They're targeting that 4.5%, and I keep on telling you and everybody I speak to, they can send the interest rates, you know, to 30% currently, and I don't think it'll make any difference, because over the same period, we saw the inflation figures come out. We saw our retail figures
retail
come
out. Retail sales down 2.1%, which obviously says, well, okay, on the one hand, inflation is still a little bit stubborn, but on the other hand, we're not spending. But mind you, that is what I've always said to you in particular. What happens, we had a good spending season, but what happens in January when people have got nothing to spend with and nothing to spend on? So that was a predictable figure, but still 2.1% down, not particularly encouraging.
Yeah. But remember also December was revised upward, and I think it was revised to something like 3.2%. It's still not a massive movement in the retail figures, you know, year on year for December, even being positive. But I mean, this is what's, you know, a lot more important. I mean, we can't do anything about oil tankers not being able to go through the Red Sea, pushing up the oil price and pushing up the petrol price or transport prices. We can't do anything on the war created countries that's pushing up, you know, some of our other softer commodities. So yes, prices are increasing, and yeah, unfortunately, interest rates is the only tool that most reserve banks, central banks, got to combat inflation. So back to the biggest question, you know, we started off this year that, and most economists said, well, we're going to see 6 rate cuts in the U.S. The Fed is going to cut it 6 times.
No.
Now, the Fed came out now more recently and said, well, three is maybe more realistic.
Three maybe, yes.
But,
yes.
I mean, I read a few reports today, and big companies, Deutsche Bank, they started already to look at some permutations. Say, well, if this happened, if the PCE numbers comes out, I think 2.5%, then we'll most likely only see 2 cuts. So most of the economists that was extremely positive November last year, saying that we're going to see 6 cuts this year, is now starting to say, well, maybe 2, not even 3. So. Yeah, I think we maybe just ran ahead of ourselves, and I think most of these commodity prices are worrying, you know, trending upwards, you know, over the last week or two.
We haven't spoken for 2 weeks, Skunk. What have you made of South Africa's corporate earnings season? A mixed bag, I think, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, I've had, let's call it, 24 hours to think about this question. Not that you gave it to me, but it's one of those questions that I had. And in general, I said about a week or two ago, I think in general, the South African listed companies don't look too bad. I think they brought out fairly stable results. But over the past few days, I'm sort of reconsidering. We had Remgro yesterday. Came out with results. I don't know the results in front of me, so please don't hold me to it.
I won't.
But I mean, the one thing that stood out for me was these re-ratings. They did this deal, bought out. They actually delisted Distell and merged that with Heineken Beverages, and they had a massive route down. It was something like the valuation, the intrinsic valuation in Remgro, let's call it 6 months ago, was something like 12 billion rand. They've now revalued it to 6.7 billion, massive write-downs. And the results naturally were looking extremely bad. The net asset value came down something like 6%. And the market just did not like that at all. Yesterday, a drop of 5%. I see today another 5% drop in Remgro. But why is this important? You know what? Bringing this back to the original question, when you look at Remgro, inside Remgro, you've got an SA Inc portfolio. Yes, I know Mediclinic is not necessarily a let's call it international, a South African only, you know, hospital group, but we still know that's very, very much representative, still a very big portion is South African hospitals. Our insurance, we know, is predominantly South African. Rainbow Chickens or RCL Food, predominantly South African. FirstRand, Discovery, Momentum, CIVH, all these companies are predominantly South African companies, and they're struggling. And the discount went from, and I mean, this is the most shocking thing. When you look at the discount of Nisqually, Remgro, and when I say discount, I'm saying discount to its intrinsic net asset value. This is the combination of this portfolio I mentioned. What the valuation of that portfolio, some of them are listed, some of them are unlisted. Look at that valuation. Over the past 14 years exactly, the average discount for Remgro was 21.6. Let's round it up and say it traded at a discount of about 22% average. If you can recall, I think a year or two ago, I told you, oh, Remgro is really looking attractive. It's now trading at just over a 40% discount for the first time ever.
So it's doubled?
No.
The discount has doubled?
Yes, exactly.
But exactly. Before you go on, because I know you're very enthusiastic about this, but if people are listening to this and say, well, wait a second, have they got a couple of unlisted entities in their portfolio, which almost justifies having this particular business model. But isn't this prehistoric? Isn't this archaic now, when you can buy the companies and you don't have the 40% discount and you've got a couple of unlisted companies which have been sought out by the Remgro people? But isn't it time now, Scout, to dismantle this?
Yeah, definitely. Because as we currently sit here, and this is the most important point, today, with today's close, this company is trading at over a 47% discount to NAV. And I want to quote...
That's unbelievable.
I want to quote Pete Viljoen.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows Pete.
We know Pete.
I mean, if you listen to this, I mean, I think the world of you, I think you're charismatic and you say, you call a spade a damn shovel. Remgro has grown its NAV per share by 5% per annum since 2010. Now, I went and I actually looked at that. It's 100% right. It's actually just shy of 5%. It's 4.8% per annum.
Yes.
Over the same period, the Allseas Total Return Index has done 12% per annum. If you expect this underperformance to continue, and in brackets he says, and nothing in the recent capital allocation decision indicates otherwise, then a fair discount to NAV is around, wait for it, 50%. I don't know if I agree with this. I seriously don't know agree with this, but this is the sentiment. This is the investors' confidence in not only in Remgro, but in South African companies in general. And I think that's to sum up this let's call it this reporting season for South African companies. Every company mentioned, you know, how hard the trading environment within South Africa is, not just in terms of higher interest rates, but also lack of power, constant load shedding, very bad infrastructure in terms of Transnet, et cetera, et cetera. All these things are inflationary. We're creating our own inflation, and then we're going to kick up interest rates and just create a bigger problem. So that's the bad. The good.
Just before we finish this, I mean, if there was an American investor and they'd look at something like Remgro, it's a tiny company in terms of what they normally invest in, but they would say, okay, you've got this company called Remgro, it's trading at close to 50% discount to NAV. I'm a hedge fund. I am going to therefore put together all my calculations of interest rates, bond rates, carry costs and all that sort of thing and the rand. And I think I could make a lot of money out of this over the next 2 to 3 years because it's trading at a nearly 50% discount. This is unheard of. This wouldn't happen in the developed world. Am I being simple here?
No, you're actually being extremely honest, Lindsay, and that's what all shareholders should be shouting out, because this is the fact of the matter. I mean, if you can't grow, I mean, let's look at their portfolio. I love the portfolio. You know, 33% of the net intrinsic value is Mediclinic. Second largest holding is 15% Outsurance. Then you've got all the 5%ers, you know, 5% in RCL, 5% Heineken, 5% FirstRand, 5% Discovery, and 2% Momentum Metropolitan. So great. Great companies, but come on, man. I mean, if you're going to have a period for 14 years where you're only going to be able to grow your net asset value for your shareholders, you know, 5% per annum, and you're trading at a 50% discount, then you've got one of two choices. Either you make a U-turn and you start growing this NAV or this portfolio, or you give the share back. You actually just do what something like PSG Group has done a few years ago. We say, well, that's it. We're calling it a day. We're giving back the Capitex and the PSG Consults and Stadios and those type of companies. Just hand it back to the shareholders and let them decide. Yes. Either they keep the shares or they sell it. But it can't go on like this. And I think this is what the share movement has told us over the past 48 hours.
Very good. Very good analysis, Skalk. Thank you. This is a company I'm going to mention now. Its name is Discovery. It's an enigma to me what's been going on there over the last few years. What do you think of Discovery? Do you hold it on behalf of your clients? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Their six-month results came out today.
I don't hold it. So I think not a lot of share movement but I mean, again, I can compliment them. They also one of those companies that's constantly guiding well. They brought out a trading statement on the 18th of March, and they've already mentioned that the EPS are going to be between 3% lower and 2% higher. It came in bang in the middle, down by 1%. So I don't think there's been much of a surprise. I think things do look pretty okay. The actual figures are looking good, and I think in a better market environment, this is a company that could do well.
Doesn't seem to be coming up with any innovations in the last couple of years. I mean, I don't know what the Chinese operation is doing, Ping An. I don't know what they're doing outside of the borders of South Africa, because it sort of dropped off my radar. That's why I said at the beginning it was an enigma to me. A great company, but maybe it's lost its way. We used to look forward to Discovery coming out and saying, well, we're doing this now, we're doing this, and Vitality and all sorts of different things, innovative things. Very, very great innovator, Discovery. But recently, not so much. Skalk, am I being unkind?
Yeah, and remember they've invested heavily into that Chinese expansions, and China had its own problems. I mean, massive problems.
Yes.
From China's side over the past 12 months. So they did have just a quick mention in the interim results where they mentioned that the Discovery Bank and Vitality Global, which you just talked about, are well positioned for future growth.
Good.
So I don't think they elaborated, but let's watch them. I think they had a tough time, but again, not unexpected, and market share price told us that today.
Right, let's have a look at the markets now. Dollar Rand 18.79 was flirting with 19 on a couple of occasions in the last 24 hours, but it's recovered its composure. The British pound against the rand is 23.88, and the euro rand is 20.30. Let's call it 20.40. Euro dollar, 108.55 ahead of the Fed tonight. British pound against the US dollar is 127.10. Gold price, 21.58. It's holding in there. It really is. And people would say, oh, it's a spike and it'll come down again. But no, consolidating between 2100 and 2200, which is so encouraging for people like you, Skalk. Gold bulls. Perennial gold bulls. Platinum is 901, which is up a couple of bucks, and palladium is up 14 to $1,008 per ounce. Other commodities, yeah, it's not good to see the oil price so high. I've got Brent crude oil. It's down today by 1.5%, but higher than when we were last speaking, Skalk, $86.10. And West Texas crude, $81.23, which is down 1.8%. Natural gas prices, big spike yesterday, coming down today by 2.3%. But nonetheless, commodities in the last 2 weeks have been in the ascendancy. The other thing that's been in the ascendancy is Bitcoin, but it has come back quite a bit, actually. But still, today, 64,110, up 0.3%. S&P 500 futures, ahead of the Fed again, let's call it 5,240, which is down very slightly. US 10-year bond yield, this has been interesting, 4.28%. And the South African 10-year has had a horrible time. I was just looking at the graph, and it's gone from 9.7% to 10.7% in the last month or so. And that disturbs me. And we spoke about that earlier on, but you're not really that into bonds, so we'll leave that alone. But Skalk, yeah. Interesting markets ahead of the holiday period.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I'm actually quite a bit surprised to see the rand stronger, or yes, trading stronger today.
Me too.
Because both the dollar is really stronger, and you would usually see, if you see a stronger dollar, you should see a weaker rand, but that's not the case. And yeah, as you mentioned, you know, this you know, inflation data that came out today went kind for bond rates, so that kicked bond rates up. But again, the currency trading stronger, so I found the rand movements for today, you know, either lagging, so the chickens will come back to roost tomorrow, or very, very surprised.
They won't tomorrow, very, very, because it's a public holiday, Skunk, and you're going to go off to.
Oh, the rand will trade. Rand will trade. They won't be on holiday.
Well, I want you to turn your phone off or your screen off, and go to one of your many holiday homes, and just not look at it, for goodness sake. Enjoy yourself. Look at the JSE movers today. Anglo American Platinum, 7.6% higher. Northern Platinum, 6.4% to the good. Impala Platinum, and this is with a stronger rand and a flat platinum price. Impala Platinum, 4.6% up. And African Rainbow Minerals, up 4.2%. People are coming for these stocks, Skulk, which is very good for South Africa. Mm. I think.
Correct. No, that's amazing. And that would be the reason why we're seeing the rand trading stronger, because I can assure you, yeah, if they were flat today, when I say they, the PGM prices flat today, we would have seen, you know, pain on the currency side. But yeah, we are the biggest PGM producers, well, largest platinum, second largest palladium, largest rhodium. So that's the reason why we're seeing some joy in the currency.
If only we could find a real market for it now that electric vehicles are the way forward. But anyway, there will be. These metals are going to be needed for a long time. Remgro down 4.5%. South 32 down 4.33%. Oceana down 3.4%. And Renet down 2.5%. Skulk, any other stocks that I haven't mentioned that have been on your little watch list there?
It's not on my watch list, but I can't you know not mention them. Transaction Capital.
Yeah.
We know that they're undergoing that initial public offering, and yeah, they got a hammer today. I don't know why they're not on your screen, because
it's
they're
not
just
big
small.
Enough, yeah.
Yeah, 9.1% going to drop. Yes, you know, very bad. So I think for the listeners out there, I mean, there's a few, you know, theories or possible explanations. You know, investors still got really a big concern about Transaction Capital's debt management. We know they're sitting in a bit of a debt worry. And the problem is, you know, if you're going to strip out the golden goose that lays the eggs, in this case, it's We Buy Cars, you know, how are they going to be able to manage this debt? Also, there's a massive shift. Investors prefer to have the We Buy Cars. So, I think these Transaction Capital holders are now selling, you know, in participation, you know, for the IPO. And the one that I think is most probably the major reason for the you know, kickback, when they were talking about the listing, and I'm talking about a week ago, I saw, you know, initial prices, you know, for We Buy Cars ranging between 21 rand and 24 rand per share. That was the initial price offering. And you know, today it was announced that the actual price that they're going to be listing at is 18 rand, which is a massive shortfall in terms of. So now, you know, listeners shouldn't just know that you had a company which was valued at anything between 21 and 24 rand a share, or let's call it 8.7 billion rand to 10 billion rand within Transaction Capital. And today, with the announcement of 18 rand per share, that actually just came down to 7.8 billion. So there's a few billions gone. And
that was, of course, and the way it works is that, you know, you go on an investor roadshow and you go to many of the large investment houses, and if they say, listen, at 21 to 24, no, we're not interested. And so they have to bring it down to 18 in order to get some sort of support. And also the book builders as well, and the sponsoring brokers, whoever it is, are sort of not obliged to, but to often do support the price when it lists. And that clearly hasn't happened with this one.
Nope. Nope, didn't happen. Not the right market condition. Again, it sort of relates back to what I said earlier on the ESSA Inc. type of companies, which We Buy Cars is very much part of now. So I think it just shows you the confidence in South African, pure South African stocks, which hopefully will have a bit of a turnaround. But for now, it's still very much under pressure.
I hope so too. When did you last buy a car, Skunk? When was the last car purchase you made, the low family?
I had to buy one a year
Why?
Ago.
Why? What, for your daughter or something?
I was one of those. My wife came to me and she went like, I'm not going to even say what I drove, but I my car. My wife came to me and said, I think it's about time that you really buy yourself a car.
So it was marital pressure there. Okay.
Yeah. No, this story is actually much more interesting. I told her, no worries. I know exactly what my faults are. I know exactly what I get when I get into my car. I am happy with this car. Next morning, I get in the garage, turn the key. Yes, I still had to turn my key. Turn the key, nothing. Car's dead. And I just knew. My wife gave me the bad juju. So that I went through that for about three mornings, and then my wife just gave me that little eyebrow.
I know that look. I know the eyebrow look.
That look. Yeah. And I went like, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Okay.
So yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad it wasn't. You're not one of these people that say, "Oh, that looks really shiny on the television in the ad. I want to go and buy that." And you trade in a perfectly reasonable vehicle. Ask me about my car, Skunk. I invite you to.
I actually know the answer to this one because I've actually got a photo of Lindsay's car. But Lindsay, tell me about your car.
I don't have a car. I haven't had a car for seven years. 7 years without a car. I'm an environmental skunk.
I wanted to rephrase my question. Tell me, what your wheels look like.
Wheels. Are those round things? You see, I know nothing about cars. I made a conscious decision not to have a car. And that's because I live in a country that has a very, very efficient public transport system, trains, trams, etc. I don't need a car. If I need a car, I'll hire one. But that's me. I'm doing my bit for the planet. Skalk, thank you very much for your time this evening. Have a lovely Human Rights Day, a brilliant Easter, but I'll speak to you before then. And yeah, let's hope the markets continue along their merry way. Skalk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.